Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by my man, Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And we are here to have some fun, get you ready for your weekend. We got good stuff coming up this hour. We're going to get into the best dad jokes of all time. That's coming up a little later.
Maybe it's one I haven't used yet. I can find some new material here.
We'll find out about that. We're going to talk about some other fun stuff, too. And, of course, we got Danny Wright stories. Good local stories of the day all going on. We kick things off with some entertainment news. And if you had not heard, I am on strike.
James is on strike.
Not from radio.
No.
But the IM is a Screen Actors Guild member, mm-hmm. and the writers are not the only ones on strike now. The actors are on strike, too.
Mm-hmm.
The picket lines are filled. The strike began at midnight. It's the first time that actors and writers have been on strike together since 1960.
Wow.
Union president, the nanny, Fran Drescher, quote, "It came with great sadness that we came to this crossroads. We had no choice. We are the victims here. We are being victimized by a very greedy entity. I am shocked by the way people have been in business and treated us. I cannot believe it, quite frankly. How far apart we are on so many things. How they pleaded poverty and they're losing money left and right while giving millions to CEOs. It's disgusting. Shame on them." Fran noted that the business has been changing by streaming, digital, and AI, and if they don't take a stand, they'll be, quote, "in jeopardy of being replaced by machines." The studios released a statement of their own saying they made a substantive offer to the actors that included historic pay and residual increases, mm-hmm. as well as a groundbreaking AI proposal that protects actors' digital likeness. In addition to working on movies and TV shows, actors also can't promote upcoming projects. That includes going to premieres. The Oppenheimer premiere in London yesterday was actually pushed up an hour so that Cillian Murphy, Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, Robert Downey Jr. Could hit the red carpet before strike restrictions kicked in.
Wow.
They didn't stay for the actual screening. Actors with upcoming projects also can't do panel discussions, which will directly affect San Diego Comic-Con, which kicks off next Thursday. Some panels have already been canceled.
Wow.
This has been in the works for a while.
It has been.
I've been talking about this with other actors. We've been warned about this for months,
mm-hmm.
and talked about that this could quite happen.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, as somebody who is literally a part of this and somebody who is in the know of it and knows a lot about the behind the scenes things that are going on with this right now,
right.
I agree with Fran wholeheartedly about us needing to take a stand and the ridiculousness of the offers that these studio companies are offering. It literally is this. It's the same thing as the writer's strike.
Mm-hmm.
The writers, the actors went to these companies and said, "Hey, you can have 98% of the pie. We just want the 2%. We just want to make what we're worth. We just want to paid what we're due."
Mm-hmm.
What any human being working any job in the world should be offered.
Right.
These studios said, "You greedy jerks. How dare you? Don't you see us? Nobody in these positions are losing money." Mm-hmm. If you needed to see that the CEOs keep getting raises even during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
That if that doesn't tell you that nobody's losing money, I don't know what will. But they will use things to skew numbers.
They will use things
to try to pull on your sympathy. And one thing I will never quite understand, and we see this with sports all the time, you, the fan, are extremely closer. We're talking like not even 2 to 3 degrees away from, if not the same degree of, as these actors, these writers.
Mm-hmm.
You are light years away from these producers, these studios, and all that.
The owners, yeah.
Mm-hmm. These companies, these people that run these things, would not throw water on you if you were on fire. Whereas any actor, I'm not saying every actor's got a great heart or
right,
something
exactly.
like that,
yeah.
but they're a heck of a lot more inclined to help you and be there for you than they would.
Right.
And care about you more.
Mm-hmm.
Writers, especially, are trying to get real work out there, represent real people.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what's going on here. Also, the two big notes here. Another, these are two separate strikes. Don't let the media or anybody else clump them together or make you think that they are the same thing. It's very important to look at them both separately,
yep.
because while they are fighting for similar things, there are two very different battles going on here.
Exactly,
with this.
Exactly.
And I do, I do ask my fellow actors out there, in particular Fran, and I've actually sent emails out about this. I think we would do ourselves a lot better if we took some perspective on this.
Yeah.
This is very important. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of jobs on the line. There's a lot of people that are getting that are having paychecks withheld.
Yep.
And a lot of that. And there are so many. For every George Clooney, there are 1,000 actors like myself that need these paychecks.
Yep.
It is not easy for me to be on strike, especially right now where there's a lot of job openings and I could be snapping those up right now. This is important, and it's vital. It's not the biggest story in the world. It's not the biggest thing in the world. It's important, but we have to have perspective with this. And the idea of calling ourselves victims, I don't like that.
Mm.
I feel like that's a word that is reserved for true victims. And while, yes, we can, in the most technical of circumstances, we can call actors, writers being victims of what these studios are doing, I don't feel that that's the term we should be using right now. I don't think that creates a lot of empathy or a lot of help for your cause when you let other people call you these things.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like a nickname. You can't give yourself a nickname. I can't go to Seth, hey, Seth, I want to be Ace. He's never going to call me that. He's going to call me something that is not safe for radio, probably. Like that, you just don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to win anybody over. That's going to help people have some empathy for your cause by claiming that you're a victim when we all know there are real victims out there. There are real, real struggles out there right now. That doesn't make light of what's going on. Again, I'm a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
I have every reason in the world to create empathy out of you right now with my little bit of time that I have on this with this microphone.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie to you, though. This is a big deal.
It's
important. There's a lot of important stuff going on in the world right now that need our attention, that need our bandwidth. This should be included, but I do not consider. You want to call what we're going through victims, I will agree with you, but I'm not going to say it. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling it. I was quoting Fran Drescher. I'm not at all saying
and
that.
And I think it's really the case, and it shouldn't be. The union shouldn't be calling themselves victims. You're trying to use the power of their collective bargaining power in order to get what they believe is a fair deal. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Huh.
You know, it's different with the industries we see, the more visible ones, the entertainment industry, the sports industry. We see them more because they're public things. They're, you know, we go to movies, we watch TV, we go to sporting events, we talk about it all the time. But it's still the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just the same thing as if you're a factory worker or you know, anyone else who, you know, trying to get a better shot at what you are. Yeah, there's a lot more money in entertainment. I get that. There's a lot more high paid than in other jobs. You're not going to get, you know, if you're a factory worker, you're not going to get paid, you know, $1 million to do a movie. But it's the principle is still the same.
Yeah.
These, like you said, the owners, they're doing marvelously. Yeah. Are they making as much money as they want to? No, but that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, we're losing money. No, you're just not making as much money as you want.
Right.
And how do you make that extra money? You squeeze it out of your workers, which is what they're trying to do.
Nobody's going broke here.
No.
Nobody's where all things, Warner Brothers is having a garage sale trying to raise some money or something like that. And you bring up a great point because there is a strong connection, and I see a similar parallel between NIL with college athletes and what's going on here. It's the same person that has an issue with both of these strikes is the person that has an issue with NIL money. Now, they didn't say nothing when universities, coaches, donors, sponsors were making hand over fist money. Mm-hmm. These universities get bigger and bigger. In every state, the highest paid state employee is the head football coach.
That's just...
Nobody barked about any of that, but all of a sudden these athletes get a couple bucks, and oh my God, all of college sports is over. They change everything. It's the end of the world. The sky is falling. Cats are marrying dogs. Everything's over. Now this one little section starts to get a little bit of power. This one little section starts to get a little bit of money, and everybody loses their minds.
Right.
It's not that different.
No.
Nobody has complained about any of this stuff with movie prices going. I mean, there's some complaints about ticket sales for movies and stuff, but we're not complaining about the big blockbusters and all these special effects and all these cool things. And well, that's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah, it does. It does.
When's the last time you went and saw a movie that wasn't because of an actor? Even if it was a plot or an action movie or something that you thought was cool, you probably didn't see it if it wasn't a familiar name in it.
That's the selling point. It's always been the selling point of movies is who's in the movie. Yeah, you're going to get one or two directors that people are going to say, oh, that's an interesting director. I like that guy, and I want to check out what he did with this. Like, you know, Christopher Nolan, that's a good example right now. But the vast majority is, who's in the movie?
Yeah.
Who do you want to see? Do you want to see Robert Downey Jr.? Yeah, I want to see him. I like him. Let's do it, you know?
Taking a look at new music out. Oh, I do. One last thing I did want to also say. Don't let either side lie to you either. This strike is not going to last as long as most people are predicting or saying that it's going to. And I say that not because I have inside knowledge, but because I know the world. I'm a realist.
Yeah.
And as Don Oppenheimer famously said, the answers to all your questions, money. There's way too much money to be had on the table being lost right now.
Right now,
thousands and thousands of dollars are being lost every second. Right now.
Every second.
Yeah, they're going to get this worked out.
The strike is to get everyone to the table. That's why they're doing it. Yep.
New music. I don't know if I'll ever get to say this again, Seth. New music from Kool and the Gang, Rita Ora, and Michael Bolton. What is and Fatboy Slim. I got to throw that in there.
Wow, what a mix.
Kool and the Gang have their 34th album out.
34th?
It's in celebration of their 60th anniversary next year. They have Sha Jones on there. People Just Want to Have Fun is the name of the album.
Well, how about that?
Good of them.
Keep going, guys. Keep it going.
Yeah. Rita and I from, you and I from Rita Ora. This is her third album. Her guest on that is Fatboy Slim.
Okay. Oh, nice. Mm. So much better than Norman Cook.
Yeah. So much better. Spark of Light from Michael Bolton. This is his 25th album.
Wow.
Interesting. Still
hey, man. He's easy. Still a popular man.
And Alchemy from Disclosure, their fourth album, wrapping up our new music out today.
Cool.
New in theaters, taking a glance at that. Big one out there, Theater Camp, rated PG-13, in limited release. I find it interesting that the movies that our theaters around here choose, the movies that are in limited release, and the ones they'll play and the ones that they don't. I see a theme with those.
Yeah.
This one you probably won't see. When the founder of a youth theater camp in upstate New York falls into a coma, her crypto bro son must work with the camp's eccentric staff to keep the place running. Ben Platt, Molly Gordon, Amy Sedaris, Will Ferrell are all in it. Will Ferrell's a producer. I think he has a small spot in it. Molly Gordon from The Bear is in it as well.
Ooh, Amy Sedaris.
I
big
love
fan
Amy,
of Amy Sedaris.
Yeah. Love her. We were just talking about her the other day. She's great. And, of course, the big one in theaters this weekend, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, part one of who knows how many. Tom Cruise has gone on record as saying this is the last Mission Impossible film, technically. There is going to be a part two and possibly a part three coming out. Tom Cruise returns as Ethan Hunt in the seventh installment of Mission Impossible series. The world's going to end. He's got to save us. That's the story. I don't know the plot, but I guarantee you that's the plot.
That's what it's going to be. There's going to be some spectacular stunts and stuff in it, you know, like all of them.
What would surprise me is Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, Ethan Hunt finally learns to bake.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the whole movie is just him baking. You know, I think that would shock me.
I'm waiting for the final Mission Impossible movie, which is going to come out, Mission Impossible 32, The Paperwork.
Yes.
Where they actually have to
they gotta do all the paperwork
from all the crazy stuff they've done before.
I also like the idea of the one after that, Mission Impossible Retirement Home. And it's just him, Ethan, like trying to like having kind of like trying to relive some of those moments but in the retirement home. I can make fun of it all I want. I'm going to see it. I won't go to the movies and see it, but I'll see it at home. I'm definitely going to see it. I love these movies. I'm a big fan of them. I'm not going to lie and say I don't watch them. But I also
still make fun of them.
It's also not, you know, thespianism at its finest or anything like that.
It's a big dumb movie is what it is.
It is. Yeah. I like to see explosions sometimes.
Nothing wrong with
that. For every movie that I like to have, you know, on the edge of my heart, on the edge of my seat, or I like to like think or makes me dwell, sometimes I just like to see things explode. It's just fun. It's fun sometimes. That won't be out there. As always, we love to hear what you, if you see these movies, what you think of them.
Yeah.
Join us on Mondays when we get into our entertainment moments. We'd love to hear from you. Call up 424-2600. We'll take a break right now. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Nope. Too slow. Too slow. There we go. Oh, a little better. At least it's more upbeat. Welcome back to the show. You're so fine, you know my mind, hey baby. I genuinely feel like it may be top five easiest songs to write ever.
Could very well be.
And my, knowing how it really happened, they were like up for like five nights straight trying to write that song, Mickey. Like, that's the way it usually seems to go.
They just gave up. Yeah. And they're like, I'll just say Mickey a lot, you know?
I'm sure we'll come up with something better, but for now, let's just have Mickey 90 times before we get into the refrain and all that. And yeah. I'm sure we'll come up, and they never came up with
it. You know, I want to point out, James just skipped over one of his favorite songs to get to that too. Yeah, so
I did.
Wow,
I did.
He made a sacrifice there.
I was trying to find something a little upbeat, a little bit faster, and everything. And it I do love that song, though. I do like. It's going to be in my head for a little while.
Yeah, there you go.
I have a weird mashup going in my head of like the first 5 seconds of the Mission Impossible theme, now going into Arthur. It's just so bad.
I should try to put that. See if I can do that.
My poor brain and what I put it through. If you forgot, you know, any great dad jokes out there, we're going to help you right now.
Remind you.
Yeah, yeah. So 2,000 people were asked to rank a list of classic dad jokes, and here are a few of the best or cringiest, however you'd like to look at it. And we, of course, want your best dad jokes.
Yes.
424-2600, call up and join the conversation. Bring us your best dad jokes. We want them, everybody. Go ahead and start thinking of those right now, and we'll be taking your calls. But let's dive into these, Seth. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. I can't wait.
Number one or number 10? I'm not sure if these are in just
any. I don't think they're in any particular order.
I don't think so, yeah. So we'll just start at the top.
Yeah, let's do it.
This graveyard looks crowded. People must be dying to get in.
Oh, wow. That's old. Oh, my goodness. That's an old one.
When you ask him, can you put my shoes on? And he said, no, I don't think they'll fit me.
Sorry, I like that one.
I used to hate facial hair till it grew on me.
Oh, I haven't heard that one before. I like that. That's a good one.
When he's reversing in the car and says, ah, this will take me back, or this takes me back.
Oh, wow. That's an excellent one. I'm going to use that one at some point.
I like that one. I do like that one, yes. I only know 25 letters of the alphabet. I don't know why.
Jeez. I'm giving myself away. I love jokes like these. Oh. I love them. I love them.
I should make sure that the audience knows Seth and I can do this. We are dads.
We are professionals here.
We can get away with telling these jokes.
Yes, we can. My somewhere my children are like cringing. And they don't know why.
I think all children are cringing right now. Yes. When your mom says, how do I look? And he says, with your eyes. Yikes.
Boom, boom, tsh.
When you ask, we really do have to get that.
We do. I got to put that in there.
When you ask if you got a haircut, and he says, "No, I got them all cut."
Wait a minute. That's actually Beth's go-to. She loves that joke.
That was my papa. That was my papa. That was one of his favorites. That's funny. Beth uses that one.
That's great. She does. Yeah.
Beth can get away with a lot of that. She's done that to me too, where she's told a corny joke, but she gets away with it.
I don't know how she does it.
I don't know.
Sincerity, I guess.
Want to hear a joke about pizza? Never mind. It's too cheesy.
That one is a really wah-wah.
Yeah.
Oof.
I felt bad for that.
That was bad.
I actually felt bad for the writer of that joke, who I don't even know. I'm scared of elevators, so I'm taking steps to avoid them.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that one hurt me. I actually physically felt that one.
Okay, now we're getting to the realm of even worse than dad jokes. I'm not sure what those are called.
I don't know if we have any listeners left. I don't know if this is a smart segment for us to be doing.
They've all turned off their...
Hello? What did one wall say to the other wall? Meet you at the corner.
Yeah, that one. Here's one of my favorite ones. Mm. This is actually not, I don't think it's a dad joke, but I got it like from an Archie comic or something.
Yeah.
I kept it in my back pocket because it's not something that people say very often, but you got to be ready, okay, for when these situations happen.
Yes.
So I was at a retreat with the church thing, with some kids. A girl comes up and she's like, my shoes. She was laughing. She's like, I put my shoes on the wrong feet. And I said, whose feet should they be on? So See, that one you got to wait for, though. You got to get the perfect situation for that. So
I do like having these, because a lot of us, men, women, young, old, we have these punchline. We don't have the joke, but we have the punchline locked and ready to go if that situation ever comes up. You're so right about that. What's the difference between a well-dressed man on a unicycle and a poorly dressed man on a bicycle? Attire.
Jeez.
Let that one sit there for a second.
Yeah, it'll lay there for a while.
God, I hate my job. All I do is crush cans all day. It is so depressing.
Yeah. Not bad.
Where do pirates get their hooks? Secondhand stores.
It's like, oh, God.
I like that one. I do like that one. Arr.
Yeah, pirates. Why wouldn't you like it?
Of all the inventions of the last 100 years, the dry erase board has to be the most remarkable.
No. My favorite, my dad did this, and so I proudly use it on my children, is that your kid comes up to you and says, I'm hungry, or I'm thirsty, and you say, hi, thirsty, nice to meet you. That's a classic dad one right there. Yeah.
Yes, I like that one.
It's gotten to the point now where I get a look for my kids. It's the nonplussed look. I think people know what that is. They kind of drop their head and look up at you with their eyes this.
Yeah, that look.
No trace of a smile on their face at all.
None. You feel like somehow you lost a year of life from that look.
But I love it. I love that look. I love getting that look.
I'm with you. Don't tell anybody. No. But yes,
love it.
Yeah, same here. I found a wooden shoe in my toilet today. It was clogged.
Yeah.
I just broke up with my mathematician girlfriend. She was obsessed with my ex.
Wow, that one's actually pretty clever.
I like that one.
That's a clever one.
I kind of like that one.
Math in there, yeah.
I can't take my dog to the pond anymore because the ducks keep attacking him. That's why I keep. That's what I get for buying a purebred dog.
No, that's awful.
That is god awful. That is my delivery was just as awful as that joke.
It deserved it.
I used to run a dating service for chickens, but I was struggling to make hens meet.
Pun. Good pun. I like that one. That's a decent one.
Want to hear a joke about paper? Never mind. It's terrible.
Again, a good pun. I like that one. That's not bad. I'll take it.
I'm all right with that one. I think we need to wrap on that.
I think we have lost. If anyone else was listening, they're gone now.
Those two people out there that are still.
I'm done with this.
I appreciate you doing that. especially, it's hard for us. I don't know about you out there, but it's hard for me to trust. I don't even trust stairs. They're always up to something. Time for Melissa's news. Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, 9:35 on the clock. Thanks for joining us. Hope you are having a good one out there. We're going to talk a little rafters in a moment, but right now, this is kind of interesting, Seth.
All right.
A candy company in Mexico broke a world record for the largest marshmallow ever made.
Oh, no.
It's about 5 feet tall and over 1,400 pounds.
Whoa.
For context, that's like 1.5 grand pianos.
Jeez.
The official weight was just under 1,430 pounds, or roughly 130,000 times bigger than a normal marshmallow.
Okay.
Where are you going to find a mug of cocoa to put that
in? I know. It's so big.
That was a dad joke. That was a dad joke. In fact, I realized something coming out of that last break.
Yeah.
That, all of that we just did, we turned WFHR into locally grown radio. Made you groan.
Not bad. Not bad. I'll take that one.
I worked really hard on that joke.
The people that came back just left again.
Yep. We need our writers, people. We need writers.
We need.
It took a team of 100 people 2 hours to pour the mixture into a mold. Then they had to wait another 48 hours for it to set.
Mm-hmm.
It happened back in April as part of the big 200th anniversary celebration in Mexico. But Guinness just posted the footage just now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The old record was a 205-pound marshmallow made in the UK in 2019. Oh, how cute. How quaint.
Wow. They're like, we're setting a record. Yeah. We're making it hard to beat this one.
I'm with them on this.
Yeah.
So, because I know I joke about it as a bit, but there's a little bit of truth in it. Like, I would love to actually do a world record here at the station, but I want to make sure we own it.
I keep it.
I want to like go above and beyond to make darn sure nobody, like not a week later, somebody's breaking it
exactly.
or something like that. Now, don't worry. This didn't go to waste. They cut it up after the weigh-in and handed out pieces for free.
Okay, good.
That's pretty cool.
That is good.
I think that'd be, does anybody ever think about like if you got to go to one of these or help make it? So I think it'd be cool to be a part of the world record, but I think just being a part of the process of something like this, even before you actually get to the baking part, like just the planning, the logistics and everything, I find interesting.
Yep.
I think that part would be fun. Heck, finding a location. Think if we wanted to do this
think
here
about
in town,
that. Yeah.
You know? I don't know, the airport maybe?
Gosh, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know, the hangar, you know, at the airport.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
On the runway.
That would be weird.
That'd be a little difficult. But I just that alone, I think, is interesting, let alone getting the ingredients, you know, and all these things and stuff. Getting people to volunteer. You're not going to get anybody that gets paid for this.
No, because it's just to be part of the process. You're right. You're totally right on that. So, but I'm like, I was very happy they cut it up because I'm like, how do you roast a marshmallow like that? Okay. Okay, we need the Eiffel Tower here so we can get this into...
Volcano.
Yeah, exactly. Stick it into a volcano. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we're going to roast this sucker. It's on a fire. Oh, no. Oh, God.
There is a volcano, I believe, in Iceland that is erupting right now.
Mm.
And it is like nothing I've ever seen. I've seen footage of volcanoes erupting, but we're used to the long volcano, the traditional-looking volcano. This one is long.
It's a flat.
It's flat and long.
Mm-hmm.
And it is freaky. It is freaky watching that, man. There is very little things in this universe that get me like... That is weird. But just watching it, I'm like, because we've gotten so green screened in our heads, I'm looking at it like, oh my, is that real? So, yeah, that's real.
That's actually real. Happening.
I wanted to talk a little rafters.
All right.
Our rafters had a rough one yesterday against Fond du Lac. You can't win them all. Rafters can't bring in runs and lose to the Dock Spiders. 2-1 loss. That's a tough one. They could not get consistent hits and were out hit 6-4.
That's rare.
Yeah, especially so far this season.
Yeah, no kidding.
We've been pretty hot this season and in recent weeks. The bats, even when the games we haven't won, we've been out hitting teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully get back on the diamond tonight and kick this off and start up again.
Yep.
They will have to shake it off because they have host Fond du Lac once again tonight at Winterfield before hitting the road at Kalamazoo for 2 games.
I'm going to Michigan again. Yeah.
Yeah. Our pregame kicks off at 6:20 for the game tonight. Game first pitch at 6:20. Our pregame will start at 6:05. That should be in. Get to the ballpark. Check it out.
Yep.
Should be a good one. Again, their Rafters are out of town for the next 2 games, Saturday and Sunday. They're going to be in Kalamazoo. 5:20 pregame on Saturday, 12:20 on Sunday. And then on Monday, the Rafters have a day off.
What?
Rafters have
they're allowed
a day off? How dare they?
How dare they?
Well, we're going to put them to work. Maybe we'll have some Rafter players join us.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a Meet Your Rafters on
great.
Monday.
I'll
be looking forward to that. Should be a good, fun time. Join us on Playmakers from 3 to 4 every Monday. It's our sports call-in show. You call up with your sports thoughts and feelings to Playmakers. And a big shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing sponsoring that hour.
Yes.
We'll take a break, but you can get your tickets for Rafters baseball at NorthwoodsLeague.com. Or be listening right here to the radio station and win yourself some tickets or donate some blood.
That's right.
Civic Media has their statewide blood donation challenge going on right now. We're calling on all heroes to donate now until July 31st. If you donate and you send us proof that you have, you'll be entered to win Brewer tickets, State Fair tickets, and locally here, if you represent WFHR or WIRI, you instantly win Rafter tickets.
That's right.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Not hard. Just
exciting.
Be a hero. That's all we're asking, everybody.
Get that blood out there.
Do this by taking a picture of yourself donating blood.
Yep.
And then go ahead and post it on any of your social media apps out there. Snapchat, Instagram, Farfel Noogle. Is that not
we're,
an
we're
app?
We're gonna have to make one now called that because just, you keep saying it. You know,
I just I don't know the modern apps. Confusing apps. I don't know. People. Every night there's a new one. I can't keep up. So whatever you're using, or you could cut out the middleman and go to civicmedia.us/giveblood. Upload the picture right there and get it in the running for all this great stuff.
Yep.
Greatly appreciate not only our great people at Civic Media being doing something like this. Yep. Proud of working at a company that does these kind of things, but you out there, because we can count on you. We know you're going to be a part of this. We know you're going to help us raise some great awareness and great amounts of supply of blood so that we can help out so many people out there. Again, the Civic Media Statewide Blood Donation Challenge going on right now till July 31st. Upload your pictures of your donating and being a hero at civicmedia.us/giveblood. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Ow. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James behind the mics. Take you right to the top of the hour. Got some good stuff coming up for you. That Ain't Right story, some local good stories of the day, and then there's this kid. Then there's this kid.
All right.
This kid might have a future in high-level business negotiations. He was at a Dunkin' around closing time, and they didn't have what he wanted, so they made him an offer. And that's when he worked his magic. He turned $4 into 2 strawberry donuts, a bag of munchies, which are donut holes, plus another box of donuts. It probably helped that he told them he wanted to surprise his mom.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, whatever works. Whatever works, young man. I want to play a little of this for you right here.
Your bag is huge.
Listen, so they are closing soon.
Oh.
And, because they didn't have the type of donut I wanted, she gave me a deal. I could get 4 strawberry donuts for the price of 1, and I decided, can I get 2 for that deal so I could surprise my mom?
So you got 8 strawberry donuts?
No, I have 2.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, that's so sweet of you!
And because I wanted some munchkins, but they didn't have that either.
Oh, okay.
There were blueberry ones, so I took that. And she gave me the rest.
He is the definition of the cat eating the canary.
Yes, that look on his face, man.
He's so, like, this kid feels like he just ripped off Fort Knox and they thanked him for it.
Yeah.
Like, this kid has got, like, there's a fire behind this kid's eyes, though, that they may have started something here.
Oh, my gosh. But he was also matter of fact about it, though, too. I love it. He's just very, you know, well, this is what happened, you know. That's awesome.
You can hear it in his voice too. Yep. That he's excited.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally, but he's a. It almost feels like he's afraid to be too excited because it's still hitting him.
Yes.
It's still occurring to him what just happened. Oh, that's awesome! And he's very, very happy about it happening.
Good for you, son. Good job.
That's a pretty cool one. That is a really cool one right there. I like that. That's a good story. I keep an eye out on that kid, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's going to be up to some stuff. I guarantee it. We've got to get to some That Ain't Right stories here. And this is an interesting one. You heard of the Chiefsaholics? It's a Kansas City Chiefs super fan who wears a wolf costume under his Chiefs garb, and he's at almost every home game and away game. Well, his real name is Xavier, and it turns out he funded his hobby by robbing banks.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. He's accused of robbing 7 banks between April and December of 22 in Nebraska, Iowa, Tennessee, and Oklahoma. He also attempted to rob 2 credit unions in Minnesota.
Jeez.
Xavier ended up with a haul of over $845,000which he laundered through casinos. He's facing up to 10 years in prison and a huge amount of fines.
Oh, wow.
He actually told his social media followers that he made a, quote, excellent living managing warehouses across the Midwest. He added, quote, hard work pays off and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It is always these guys. It's always these guys that are telling you how hard they worked and how they did this and I did this, this, and this. And then you find out, no, they didn't do a dang bit of that.
To be fair, it does seem like it would take a bit of work to rob a bank. You know, you have to make a plan and all that, but not the work he's talking about. I mean, come on here.
There's armchair, you know, there's Monday morning quarterbacking, and then there's the, like, people who, I don't know, talk trash about a soul soldier when they've never served or something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's this these kind of people that just they drive you crazy, and this kind of thing is it brings such a dirty name to fandom and all that.
It does.
You know? And what a dumb idea. Of all the silly, stupid, I know that we can get canceled for using some of those words nowadays, but why do these words exist in our lexicon if not for guys like Xavier here?
Like, Xavier, man.
Like, being a thief, I don't know a ton about it, but I'm guessing that you want to be low-key. I'm guessing you... Yeah, I don't remember in the Ocean's movies George Clooney being a super fan or anything like that of his local sports team or something and being on TV every Sunday.
Right, exactly.
For the local authorities to get a good look at you.
Wait a minute now.
Like, this guy, this guy, I'll give him this. Like, they're going to be able to use him as an example of how not to live your life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, how not to be a fan.
Yes, the warning, the cautionary tale, yes.
A knucklehead. A knucklehead. I do wonder though. Does that mean somebody can pick up his garb now? Does that mean like somebody, since he is not going to be any Chiefs games anytime soon?
No. I don't know if anyone would want to. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I think I would avoid that. Pick your own. Yeah. Come up with your own thing.
I think we need a palate cleanser. So
yeah, I agree.
I think we need that. Let's go ahead and touch on some locally good stuff going on. And there is something wonderful going on in Vesper today.
Yeah, it's starting today. It's Vesper Days this weekend, everyone. Yeah. Go ahead on over to Vespers. The activities start tonight at 6 o'clock with a brat and hot dog fry at the community center. There's also going to be some kids games there. There's going to be some inflatables. There's going to be a movie in the park with popcorn, snacks, and bring your own chairs and blankets. And that's in coordination with the Leicester Public Library and Vesper. I love this. It starts at what they put on the schedule, dark. They just said dark, no time, just dark. So when it gets dark, they'll start shooting the movie. But then tomorrow, they've got a whole bunch of stuff going on, starting at about 9 a.m. They've got craft vendors going on from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. They've got food trucks from Rocky Rococo, Jamaican Kitchen, Mason Smokehouse Barbecue, Vesper Cafe. That's all going to be on Virginia Street. From noon to 1 is the parade that starts at St. James Church on East Cameron and Wisconsin Street. From 1 to 5, the old-time brass polka band. Oh, great. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good
one. All right. Tim, go and record that. Get that up on your show.
Yeah.
We're going to have more stuff for kids, including inflatables. At 1:30, there's going to be a kids' penny scramble. That's pre-K to fifth grade.
Nice.
There's going to be bingo at the community center from 2 to 4, from 5 to 7. The kids' pedal pole in front of the stage. I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
I don't know what a pedal pull is. Go find out what it is and report it to us,
yes,
okay?
Yes, you got to let us know.
And then from 7 to 11, music by the Jerry Schmidt Band taking the stage at Virginia Street. A chock full a couple of days in Vesper for Vesper Days.
Love our friends in Vesper. We say a good morning to them and hope you have a great weekend of events.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy yourselves. Mark your calendars. Save the date for some sweet summer fun. The third annual Touch a Truck coming up July 29th over at the Grand Rapids Lions Club.
Mm-hmm.
Today from 3 to 4 on Midday Magazine. We are going to talk a little bit about this in our opening topic with Kayla from the Family Center. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Appreciate them joining us as always.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about this then, but vehicles on display, food, kids games, and more. Our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center does not have a ton of opportunities to be out there to do raise awareness or to raise funds.
Exactly.
This is a big one. We need everybody in town to come out to this one. Spend a little money and that money goes right back into the community. Every penny of that goes to the Family Center to help them do the vital work that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we'll talk more about this with Kayla a little later. Kayla will be our first guest in Midday Magazine today from 3 to 4. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Dan Guck, visionary, along with Lee Graff and friends in bringing a quadruplex to the Wisconsin Rapids area. We're going to talk about the Rapids Area Sports Complex and have some fun with that.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be a great way to wrap up the week. We mentioned the Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge going on right now. So do want to mention that locally, we have got an opportunity for you to get in on this.
Yes, we do.
Coming up on Tuesday, July 18th, next Tuesday from 10 to 3, join us at the East Junior High School Music Room at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Appointments are encouraged. Walk-ins are welcome. You can schedule an appointment at 866-566-5900. That's 866-566-5900. If you have questions, you can give them a call at that same number. I'll meet you there. Because I want to get in on this, Seth. I want to take a selfie of me donating blood.
Yep.
Gonna, oh, wait a minute.
You can't win anything. I just realized that.
Well, you know, I can. I'm a win. It's a win just from donating.
That's right.
So I'll go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah, I think you should.
I did. I was kind of thinking I'd get Brewer tickets, though. I guess I can't do that.
Sorry.
Darn it. Not
open to employees. Sorry.
In the Stevens Point area, you've got opportunities to donate almost every day.
Yep.
If you are curious, reach out to our friends at the Stevens Point Blood Donation Center at 3201 C Main Street. Wonderful people over there doing great work. Appreciate them. And let's get into some world good stories of the day.
All right.
And I want to kick it off with a really beautiful one right here. A woman in Georgia recorded her two sons reuniting for the first time in 13 years.
Wow.
She had a drug problem and lost custody when they were young, but she's clean now. She was picking one of them up at camp and surprised him by showing up with his brother. Half of the video is just him hugging it out and letting not letting go. I just want to play a little of this.
Okay.
What's up, man? What's up? Look who's in the car with me.
Shut up!
Oh my god, bro.
Oh.
Don't do that, bro. Oh my god. Oh, come on, meet my friends, bro. You need to meet them.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's wonderful.
That just hits me so hard,
oh,
man.
Oh, wow.
Man, this is so beautiful.
That was so cool.
It's
I loved his initial reaction. Shut up!
Yeah,
that was great.
It's one of the greatest reactions from young people. When
I
you
know.
That.
I love it.
I think that there are two beautiful stories going on there. Obviously,
yes.
The one with the brothers and everything, but that woman overcoming her demons and getting her life back, getting her kids back.
Yeah.
We don't celebrate those stories nearly enough.
Yeah.
You can't bark at people to get better, and then when they get better, make them relive their past their whole lives. There's accountability, and then there's shame in people.
Yeah.
And shame on you if you're a shamer.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What am I doing? Stop shaming.
Wait, no.
That's like
in a weird loop now.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's no.
Like, stop bullying bullies. You bullies, stop it. Oh, you can't. Darn it. What am I doing?
No. What you said. I mean, you have to, you know, serve your debt to society, and then let's help them get back on their feet. Let's help them get back into society. Absolutely.
No one won Wednesday's Powerball drawing. Last we checked, tomorrow's jackpot was up to $875 million.
Okay.
And here are two lucky people who might want to buy a ticket. A guy in North Carolina hit the lottery last month and won $500,000.
Okay.
And then a week later, his mom bought a ticket and she also won $500,000.
Wow.
So if that happens to me, the first thing I'm doing is buying my mom a house. But if she wins the lottery the very next week, I'm not going to lie. That's going to sting a little. That's going to be like, oh.
Ee. She can buy her own house now, man.
Yeah. Oh, that's a little uncomfortable. It's a little. Ee. The Washington Post recently did a story on this kid, Otavius Harris.
Okay.
He got an internship at a fire department in Knoxville, Tennessee this summer, then found out the firefighter mentoring him delivered him as a baby 18 years ago.
Whoa. Oh, my goodness.
His mom went into labor at home, and a fireman named Kevin Faddis showed up when she called 911.
How about that? Does that strike home with you,
it
too?
It did hit a little bit. There is a wonderful young lady who reported on the story. You know, every year I read that article that happened when my parents had me.
Yep.
And I've wanted my whole life to be able to find what happened to that lady.
The story.
My nana and my mom would talk about how wonderful, how sweet she was. And she was young and new in the business, but she was very polite and didn't want to get in the way and all this. And they were rooting for her and would read her articles, but lost track of her over the years. And I just love to know what she was. I'd love, more than anything, I would give anything to meet the EMTs, the firefighters that delivered me.
How cool would that be, man?
Oh, just
that would be so cool.
About that. I would love to. So the only way, since I probably will not, I will spend my whole life representing firefighters, EMTs, police officers, and the great work that they do because I'm not here without them. My mom might not be here without them.
Excellent point.
We know there are more local good stories of the day out there. We want to hear from you about those. Mm-hmm. Get them to us, everybody. Celebrate with us. Share them with us. Send them to us email-wise, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. That's a great way to do it. There are other great ways as well. Encourage you to do so.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, like a huge, like big, you know, some of the stories we have here are like really, you know, amazing stories. It doesn't have to be that, you know, out there kind of story. Yeah. It could just be simple, yeah, good stories of the day.
Like a great one going on in just a week's time. The 57th annual Wisconsin State Watershed Show Championship, woo, is taking place July 20th through the 23rd at, yes, beautiful Red Sands Beach at Lake Wasecha. The largest and longest running water ski show tournament in the world.
How cool is that?
Wisconsin Rapids Aqua Skiers have been the humble host since the tournament's inception. We've always had it here.
We've always had it here. Isn't that cool?
This four-day tournament features 24 of Wisconsin's best water ski show teams with 72 individual competitors, all vying for the state title and chance to qualify for the National Water Ski Show Championship.
57 years.
So,
wow.
I'm going to be real with you guys. This gets a little dicey because there's another stations that do promote this and everything.
It's true. It's true.
So, of course, we ain't going to promote them. But we do promote our area. We do, yep, support local. And when you do that, that means doing it full-fledged.
Yep.
That's not picking and choosing. That's full-fledged supporting local. And
this is big deal. This is a big, yeah, deal around here.
So we support the event. Yep. We encourage you to check out the Wisconsin Rapids Aqua Skiers on Friday. They'll be the second to last team skiing. And then on Sunday, join our Shermalot team from Rome. They'll be the third to last team going on Sunday.
Very cool.
Of course, you can check out that when everything kicks off on Sunday. I love the opening ceremonies. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite parts of the whole weekend, cool, is the opening ceremonies, along with all the individuals that you get, the swivel, the doubles, the team jump. It's all there for you.
Very cool.
Shout out to all of our aqua skiers and all of our volunteers.
Good luck, everyone.
Event. Have a great weekend, everybody. Yeah. We'll meet you back here next week with more Morning Show on WFHR. Is that good? Was that my... I don't know. I felt like I really should have done more energy there. Oh, we're still on the air.
We're still on the air.
Back to Long Island, New York, CBS's Pat.